It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Formula One driver George Russell, after three practice sessions and three rounds of qualifying, won the Las Vegas Grand Prix on Saturday. Well, he won, but did Las Vegas. There was excitement, but also traffic. There were happy casinos, but also some small businesses that were not that happy. Well, here to shake it all out is my guest, Alan Snell, whose popular website, lvsportsbiz.com, reports the business side of Las Vegas's expanding sports industry. For everything about LV Sports Biz, go to lvsportsbiz.com, and you can follow Alan on X at LV Sports Biz. And Alan, welcome back to the show always.
Hey, it's great to see you, Ira. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I want to quote from your recent article. When I say recent, it's recent. It was Sunday night, where I'll quote just part of it. You said, this is the headline. It's the longest headline I've ever read, but I this is a quote, controversial F1 race on strip divides Las Vegas. County Commission Chairman says Clark County needs to determine if race is worth months of disruptions, comma, business losses, end quote. So that's a long headline, but to the point. And so from your perspective as a journalist, what's your overall impression of Formula One's impact on Las Vegas? And then we can go a little bit more into the meat of the article.
Well, there's some good parts and some bad parts. I mean, obviously, it's a high level, very electric, very spectacle style event. It attracts a lot of international guests, and they tend to spend a little more than the average tourist in Las Vegas. Obviously, the negatives is that you're talking about a private sports promoter that has been given 3.8 miles of public roads that have been privatized. And in order to get the 3.8 mile track up and running, it requires a 17-week traffic program in terms of putting up the fencing, putting up all the light mounts, putting in all the barriers. And you're, in essence, starting in early September for 3 months of preparation work, road closures, lane closures. It's difficult to reach some businesses. And then the race, as you mentioned, Ira, ended on Saturday night. And we have to now spend a whole month dismantling this private track. So it's a 17-week program that was officially approved by Clark County, and it obviously causes a lot of disruptions. It has hurt a number of smaller businesses that have, in fact, done more than just complain. They have filed official lawsuits making two very interesting allegations about not only having the race cause them to lose revenues. A very second and underrated allegation is that they're asserting, both against Formula One and Clark County in the lawsuits, that Clark County government did not properly process the permits and, in fact, fast-tracked the approval requests by Formula One, which is owned by Liberty Media in Colorado, to put in this track and basically privatize, like I said, nearly 4 miles of public road. Number two, what really needs to be understood is that you're talking about privatizing roads in the very heart of the region's economic lifeblood, which is the Strip and the Strip corridor. So that is something that has to be considered. You know, it's as official as you would get for a social media poll, but I did ask people where they thought the appropriate place would be for an F1 track event, and about 45% said it should be up by the land, by the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. About 38% said keep it on the strip. Another 5 or 10% said someplace else in Las Vegas. So I don't think people have anything against this event. Like I said, it's a very high level, quote unquote, Las Vegas is on the world stage. That's the mantra of the PR folks at F1, which is fine. I just think for the Las Vegas community, the location is what really upset a lot of people.
You could play the other side of it, which is that even though it's a public road, the Las Vegas Strip, that the businesses, some of the bigger businesses, meaning the resorts fronting that public road, were clearly in favor of it and for commercial reasons understood. But so you didn't have a total opposition to it because it's affecting those businesses that are huge in a supposedly positive way, and yet it's also impacting smaller businesses. And you obviously in your reporting talked to some of the small business owners about what that impact was. But you could sort of see both sides in that sense, that from a private commercial standpoint, even though it's a public street or a public road.
I mean, clearly there's winners and losers with this big event. MGM Resorts International and Caesars Entertainment are the two big folks on the strip, along with Wynn Las Vegas and the folks who own the Venetian, the Palazzo. And obviously, the owners of the very big fancy properties, like your Bellagios and Wynns, obviously they're in favor. They saw more revenue for a weekend that is typically kind of slow. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving, so it's traditionally a slower week. And they got this jolt of an event during a traditional slow week, but obviously in terms of workers trying to get to jobs and some of the smaller businesses, it did affect them. So, this is not really a home run for everyone for Las Vegas. A very controversial part of the event is trying to get a grasp of the net economic income to the region, because what F1 does is that they take the amount of people who they think came, and then they multiply the per capita spending of their guests, and they come up with this really big figure. But a lot of these numbers fail to really understand the economic nuances involved, such as the people who have lost revenues. And also economists will point out that in many cases, there are two factors going on. Number one, you have people and guests and tourists and visitors who are actually consciously avoiding the Strip corridor because they don't want to be part of the traffic situation there. And also, some of the people who are coming are simply displacing visitors who would normally be coming that particular week. I thought the Review Journal had a really good column on the theaters and the venues that actually went dark because of this particular access issue. It's hard to get to some of the venues in light of the the track setup. So I mean, the loss of income from those theaters and arenas and venues, how are those factored into the economic net income of this event? And, unfortunately, the public is not really told. They're given these really big numbers. It would be the equivalent of, to me, a company telling the public their quarterly earnings report information and giving you only the revenues without the expenses. Mm-hmm. And to me, the most important thing is the net income, how much you're netting at the end of the day. And to me, it's misleading when Formula One just gives you this really big number on spending, which is fine, but it doesn't obviously give you the complete picture. And the public really deserves to understand what the complete picture is, not just the gross spending.
And I know you took a stand a while back about looking at financial figures that were provided to you in various situations, and you weren't going to publish them unless you were able to sit down with somebody from an organization and go through those numbers and make sure they're accurate. So I know that's been a philosophy of yours and a mantra of yours for a while. Do you think that going back to the headline that I read from your article in lvsportsbiz.com, and again, that's your website for everybody to go to, you mentioned about the chairman of the Clark County Commission. Have you talked to him, and or do you think he's responding to some of the articles you've written, or is he hearing from other voices as well?
Well, I've talked to Tick Sagerblom multiple times before the race, and it's clear that he wants to have the county take a close look at whether, and that's his, you know, that's his comments. I mean, he wants the county take a look at whether the net benefits of this event really justify the kind of disruptions and loss of income to businesses that are adversely affected. And I think that's a good idea. Last year, the county came up with this quote unquote debriefing report, which was an overlook at that inaugural event last year, which was November 16th of 2023. And I thought a very telling number was that the county government itself lost $460,000 in just processing the permits. I thought there was a net loss of $460,000. The county, to their credit, added up all the person powers, all the person hours that were required to handle the application. Obviously, this is a very complicated, voluminous approval process. And they looked up all the hours, and then they took a look at how much money was received in permit fees and realized they actually lost $460,000. What's really interesting is that the folks, the businesses, there's four businesses that brought lawsuits against Clark County and Formula One. Like I said, one of their main allegations is that Clark County really failed to hold the kind of public review process that's required to put on a major event of this scale. So Tick Sagerblom, I think to his credit, I think the county commissioners should be as transparent as possible. And I think they really need to be open with the public about their opinions, because there is, I don't know about you, Ira, I mean, I think you know the industry well enough to understand that the big hotel properties often dictate to the county commissioners what policy should be taken. And when you mentioned about the hotels on the Strip, I mean, let's face it, the Strip kind of functions like it's its own Vatican, really. I mean, they kind of play by their own rules, really. I mean, if we're going to be honest about things.
I just said without the walls, but now that I think of it, we had barricades. So,
well, there you go. So you literally had barriers. So it's, you know, Clark County is, you know, it's a very unusual economy because it's so one-dimensional. You know, the hospitality and tourism accounts for, you know, depending on who you want to believe, and literally half of all the revenue and income for our market. So, like you said, the folks on the Strip believe they should be calling the shots. And often,
well, I didn't say that. No, you're misquoting me. I didn't say that they believe they should be calling the shots. Well, I don't think that's quite what I said. But what I did say was they would benefit, even though it's a public road, those owners of the properties along that public road would benefit.
Right. Well, obviously, they're They're geographically on that road, so they would want to think that they can have a big voice on what goes on, in that corridor.
But what from an economic standpoint, they would benefit from that because it's a public road, but they're fronting it, and if that's where the race is, they're gonna by ipso facto they're gonna make money.
Right, but keep in mind with roads and transportation and mobility, is that technically they front the road, but they don't own the road. People right. need to be on that road to get to other places.
You're absolutely correct. It's a public road. I simply was making the point that they benefit from it economically. I didn't get into the political aspect of it, which I'm sure is a major part of how that was fast tracked in. And something that I asked you about, but you responded to it, but I don't think you answered my question, which was, do you think that your writing about this has influenced Tick Singerbloom to talk about it?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, I guess that's something you might have to ask Tick. I mean, I do write stories hoping that the information will help people better decide about these complicated story. So in answer to your question, I hope Tick does take into consideration my reporting.
Yes, and I'm sure he's heard from other voices. Clearly the lawsuits have grabbed people's ears too. Anytime you get sued, that kind of makes you sit up and take notice. Has there been, from your research, has there been any other event in Las Vegas history that got fast-tracked where the normal procedures were bypassed as far as the processing and approval of these permits?
Yeah, I'm unaware of an event that was processed so quickly. You know, I will tell you that there are voices out there that really, people who don't want to be quoted, who have informed me that they would have liked to see Formula One have their first race this year. Because I thought in 2023, it just happened too quickly. And I remember just the feeling that they're putting on this amazing event of such a large scale and of such major impact in such a small amount of time. And it really would have helped Formula One with their PR and just the public appeal, because they came off as just wanting to come in here. And if you remember, for one of my stories, I actually quoted one of the restaurant general managers saying that F1 came in here and wanted every restaurant and business that was doing business during the race and that had a view of the track to give them $1,500 per customer.
Amazing.
And that did not go over too well, Ira.
I bet not. I think the technical word for that, Alan, is chutzpah.
That is as accurate as you can get. And F1, if you recall, also wanted $40 million from Clark County for the paving of the road surface. And that didn't go over well, too. And a very big point is that Formula One came in here in 2023 and did not connect with the community. There was no big, fan fest that you see, that you normally see with your Super Bowls, and even the Vegas Golden Knights have these fan fest kind of events. They didn't have that. There was really very little effort by Formula One in year one to connect to the community in 2023. It may have been a better strategy overall in connecting to Las Vegas if they just, so to speak, took their kind of hit the brakes a little and just slow down a little and try to properly put on this event for 2024 as the inaugural event, instead of going quickly right into November of 2023. And as a result, in the lawsuits, like you referred to, there were references by the plaintiffs alleging that The public was not involved enough, and there was not enough public hearings. The permits that were required were not appropriate for the kind of scope and level of event. And, you know, maybe if F1 just had more planning and took more time and used 2024 as the inaugural event and started with the community connections from the get-go, you probably would have had a much better relationship here in Vegas.
Do you think the second year, from your perspective as a reporter and journalist, that their approach was better than it was the first year in terms of interacting with the community, addressing issues that needed to be addressed, acknowledging that, yes, there was going to be a traffic issue, there was going to be access issues, there was going to be a disruption of the typical Las Vegas experience?
Well, I think it was a definite yes to that, Ira. But then again, you have to say that I'm not sure you could have gotten worse after year one. But there was improvements in year two. I think that's a definite yes on two levels. Number one, the amount of interruptions to traffic was less in year two. You remember in year one, they had to pave the 3.8-mile track. And then after they paved it, then they had to come back and install the track, which is kind of an arduous task. I mean, you're installing a lot of barriers, fencing, and light mounts to create a private, basically, like you said, it's literally a private highway in the busiest corridor that we have in Southern Nevada. So they definitely improved that. Like I mentioned, they had a county-approved 17-week preparation and dismantling. So 17 weeks is definitely less than the time they took in year one. And to my point for the second item is that they have definitely improved making connections with the Las Vegas community. They gave away free tickets a la the Super Bowl, the National Football League and the Super Bowl, and the host committee that you saw when the Super Bowl was here in February. It's hard to believe. We literally just like less than a year ago, we hosted a Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. There was a lot of just like the strategy deployed during the Super Bowl, the Grand Prix did hand out a lot of free tickets to Air Force personnel, and they involved students to do artwork, and they invited students to check out the track, and they definitely made a much more concerted effort to connect with local groups. They had back-to-school giveaways when school started back in August. So answer is yes and yes, that things are were much better in year two than year one, for sure.
Do you think from a PR perspective that two things they could have done this year? You mentioned the $400,000 that Clark County ended up losing in terms of the processing expense. Do you think, I mean, that's not that amount of big amount of money for what was brought in from the F1 side. Do you think it would have been a nice gesture for F1 to just give that kind of money over to the county just to reimburse them, make them whole in that sense?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't, you know, we saw Formula One's DNA. I mean, their default behavior was to come in here and, you know, shake everyone down for $1,500 a customer in restaurants and businesses if they had a window or if they had a view of the track. And their first instinct was to ask for $40 million to repay, you know, for the paving job. That, you know, but then again, they're a private sports promotion company. I mean, they're in private business. That's what they do. They are looking to maximize, you know, their investment. So, you know, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, after Clark County documented the fact that they lost like $462,000 in processing the permits, I guess it would have been an appropriate gesture, if you will, by the sports promoter to, as you put it, you know, make it whole.
I said 400,000, but you said 400.
Yeah, the exact 000. Amount is like around 462,000.
Well, do you think too that you know, Las Vegas, one of the things Las Vegas has been known for, and you've covered this in your capacity, that public-private partnership that has been part of the DNA of Las Vegas for decades. And that's why some things are built very quickly without a bunch of red tape. Events are put on, casinos are built, resorts are built, just all kinds of stuff goes on through that public-private partnership. And that's usually a decent balance that goes on there. In this case, what I'm getting from you is that this was a little bit skewed, so it wasn't quite what it normally would be, where Clark County evidently gave away too much, you know, symbolically and financially to what was being presented as an annual event, as opposed to a permanent construction of something.
Well, you know, one of the points I made in my reporting is that Clark County handed over the roads without negotiating a compensation package. And I think that's wrong. I mean, you're basically giving our property. It's not Clark County. It's our public roads to a private sports promoter. And those roads have value. I really feel strongly that Clark County should have hired a consultant and a negotiating team to negotiate some kind of compensation package with Formula One, where F1 would be paying some kind of fee for using our public roads. You know, the other impacts might be a little more complicated to figure out in terms of the negative losses to people's schedules. I mean, those are, but, you know, if you want to rent out the Clark County Amphitheater, which is the space behind the building, there's a fee. I mean, Clark County, you just don't get it for nothing. Formula One got not, there weren't just any roads, Ira. It's the world famous strip. Right. And pieces of three other roads to complete the circuit. And that has a lot of value. The ticket price, we haven't talked about ticket prices. I understand that they've gone down from year one, but still the average ticket is still very expensive to attend an event of this magnitude. I would estimate that the average ticket was in the $1,000 to $1,200 range, you know, in terms of average ticket. I'm being conservative now.
Well, it would have to be $1,200 because that's what they wanted to charge the restaurant guys for each of their customers.
That would work out, I guess. The in year one, the average ticket, according to F1destinations.com, which tracks the ticket prices at all the F1 events, the price here in Las Vegas in year one in 2023 was about $1,557. It was the most expensive average ticket on the F1 circuit. I don't know the price it was in year two, but by looking at what they were asking, I think we can reasonably believe that maybe it's not as much, but I think it's reasonably to believe that the average ticket was probably at least $1,000 to $1,200. And if you want to multiply that by they claim 300,000 people came. So, you know, let's do the math. That's a lot of revenue, Ira. So there's a lot of money that was made by Liberty Media and F1 off our public roads here in Las Vegas. I'm just saying that Clark County needs to be compensated, and the commissioners and the staff did not do that. There was no compensation package for the use of our public roads, and I think that was wrong.
Well, that's a good place to leave it. My guest has been Alan Snell, whose popular website, lvsportsbiz.com, reports the business side of Las Vegas's expanding sports industry. And for everything about LV Sports Biz, you go to lvsportsbiz, that's with a Z, .com, and you can follow Alan on X at LV Sports Biz. And I'm sure there'll be more to this story as we go through into next year. And Alan, thanks again for being on the show.
Ira, it's always a welcome opportunity to talk with you. And don't forget, we have that other public-private partnership called the A's Stadium on the Strip.
Yes, and we'll have you back on again to talk about that. I appreciate it. Thanks again, Alan, for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Ira.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Be Las Vegas. Anything you want us to be.